$1 million, but every time you have to do your laundry, an invincible snail begins slowly following you, and if it ever reaches you, you will die. Every time you have to do your laundry.
I'm not taking this one. Because of my work, I have to do laundry like 3 times a week.
Yeah, so. If it was ever just like one time, like one snail, yeah, I'd take this. Like for the rest of eternity?
Yeah, I mean, it's...
I'd take it. I'd just bring salt with me.
did you not hear the invincible part?
I don't give a shit. Time to experiment.
Doesn't mean it can't feel pain.
Yeah, but invincible does mean it won't stop.
Right.
That's okay. I'd still take it. We all gotta die sometime.
I'd say if I had $1 million, I probably wouldn't do laundry as often, but eventually it's still gotta happen.
Well, if you get $1 million, you can just buy new clothes.
$1 million won't last you that long when you think about it.
Especially if you're having to buy new clothes. Yeah.
That's when you hit the Goodwill.
even so.
You have $1 million and you live off of Goodwill clothing. Yes. What the fuck is wrong with you, man?
I feel like so Goodwill clothing would be washed more often.
Yeah. How would we find shit that would fit us? Fuck you.
Hey, don't be mad at me.
Yeah, I wouldn't take it.
Nah.
It sounds like a simple thing you could beat. It sounds like a simple thing you can beat until you see the invincible part.
It's okay.
Like, all right, well.
I'll die before the snail gets
there. Not to mention, if you get one added every time you do laundry, eventually you have like 10 fucking snails after you. Yeah. More.
Yeah, is it like one load of laundry? If it's one load of laundry, I have to do like 8 loads of laundry for my clothing.
Oh, God.
Because I separate shit out. You know, colors and shit.
Oh, I don't. I'm lazy. I still do 3 loads of laundry a week.
Still, yeah. When you end up with jeans. Jeans are fucking heavy as shit. You can't put that with shirts. Shirts come out all fucking mangled. Jeans are like, yeah, what's up, dog?
Yeah, I was going to say work pants. Just
fucked up your whole clothing.
Yeah, you
plus jeans and all that shit. Yeah, that's stupid. I'd have about...
Of course, if I can get Shayna to take over all the laundry duty, then I guess I'd be all right. Baby, you gotta do all the laundry chores for the rest of our marriage, but
if you love me, you will do this for me.
If you love money, you'll do this for me.
I'll split it with you.
This is a good argument, Miles. I think you found the way around it. No, we all just live with you and have Shayna do our laundry.
She wouldn't have to be a geologist anymore.
Just pay for a laundry service.
With this money, we'll even buy an industrial laundry machine so she could do multiple ones.
Oh, man. So, all right. Well, welcome to the Geek Out Heroes. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Anderson.
Miles.
And Loach is not with us this week. He bitched out and decided that... his work was more important than us.
Yeah, I know, right? Really get wired and nutted.
It's like a fucking uncaring parent.
Yeah, what a douche.
He could damn have at least you. Given
us, he could have at least rented us a movie and bought us a pizza first.
Right?
What a second. I deserve this.
You fuck.
Could have at least gotten us a pint of Ben and Jerry's and a rom-com.
Yeah, like this. No, man, I wanted a fun evening, not a good cry.
Oh, man. So, this week we don't have... One of the things I wanted to bring up was that the Call of Duty World War II beta is running right now. I have a code on PlayStation. I don't know if any of you guys got codes.
Negatory.
No.
Sweet. So, I'll be playing that by myself.
Sorry, you couldn't hear it, but I just shook my head no.
Yeah, it's okay.
No, I was explaining that to Steve.
Yeah, so, it's Call of Duty, so I don't expect it to be that big of a difference between what we've had in the past for online. Maybe a little better than the last two, but, aside from that, I'm not sitting there going, oh yeah, it's gonna be great, I'm looking forward to the online. I'm also just wanting to play the story and see if that's any better than it has been, or going back to World War II feels any better, or if it's a better story. I think that I honestly have this feeling of, like, it's not going to be as good as people are hoping for because it's going back to World War II. Because I still think they have the problem of not having the right writers for their games anymore.
I'm going to go with the 4 to 6 hour campaign.
That's basically Call of Duty length, so.
Was it,
I'm okay, thinking they I, might try and stretch it out. We might get 7 to 8 on this one.
Maybe.
Not, like, that's a huge difference, but...
It really will depend whether or not the developers for this actually paid attention to how good the campaign was for Titanfall in reality, because Titanfall was such a good story and such a good pacing that kind of... Not saying, listeners, that it needs to have the same thing. Obviously, it's World War II. But just has, like, how everything kind of unfolded and you cared about people, caring about your robot in that fucking game. So in this, like, it should kind of feel the same way of, like, you should care about the characters that you're playing with and around in the game. And Call of Duty has always been short of that. Like, you don't really care what happens to people or the characters in it.
See, now...
All games. You should always care about your protagonists.
This is true, yes.
Doesn't always happen. BioWare.
Now all I want is Titanfall, but set in alternate history, World War II.
Yeah.
Because that sounds like it would be awesome.
It'd be pretty badass.
Have you ever played Iron Brigade?
They did have time travel in Titanfall, so they absolutely could bring in a alternate history for World War II where Titans land and suddenly things fucking change.
I want to play this shit right
Activision,
now.
Activision, give me money. I will write this game for you on a napkin and you can just take it from there.
We'll write it out. It'll be done in like a day.
Well, I did watch... I was in Vargo sitting here. We watched some gameplay of my buddy of mine playing the online. It was beautiful, but the vibe I got is you get a participation ribbon for fucking everything you do.
Yeah, it was weird. There was like fucking medals just scrolling across his screen like basically it felt like the first time he turned on his Xbox One. Like, you know, just achievement, achievement, achievement. Why? Because you're playing...
Because if they don't keep, you know, making noises and flashing lights in your face, you'll go away and do other things.
Yeah, it's like a fucking pachinko machine just going off in front of you. Bing, 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 bing!
You win!
So, yeah, I mean, it'll be Call of Duty regardless, so, for the online. So I don't think I'll probably really invest that much into it.
Like I said, I'm excited they're going back to World War II, but...
But aside from that, as soon as I'm done with my copy, I'll just be like, all right, here you go. Go play it.
Yeah. You want to trade for Battlefront?
Waste 5 hours of your life, I'll waste 5 hours of mine.
Yeah, you can borrow my copy of Battlefront. We'll just trade for a little bit.
We'll see how it goes. Another game that I recently played was a demo that they released for, and this is getting into sports, which is funny because I'm talking about it and Loach isn't here.
He's too busy getting goated right now.
He's too busy trying to beat Tom Brady. So I was playing the demo for NBA Live 18 that's coming out pretty soon. And NBA Live has always struggled with trying to get more gamers and has always struggled as a series because they've always had to compete with NBA 2K. And the 2K series has just kicked their ass for a long time. In fact, it's it's been so dominant that a lot of people have made the argument of EA should just stop making NBA games. And they actually did skip a year because the last ones have just been so shitty. They've added the new story mode like every EA sports game is now having. This one's called The One. It actually let me have the character named The One and people address me as The. Hey, The! That's me. So, it's interesting. If I were really an NBA fan, like, really into basketball, I would probably enjoy playing through the campaign. But, overall, mechanics are relatively simple, but they still don't work quite right. Like, things just don't feel the same, they don't feel as familiar and polished as they do with, 2K, and I don't know what it is that EA can't figure out with that game, but at this point, I honestly suggest to EA, yeah, you guys should probably just stop making them and, you know, relinquish the license, don't worry about making NBA, it doesn't make you guys a lot of money regardless, it hasn't made you money in years. Stick with FIFA, it's the best-selling sports game of all time. You're getting us another NHL without the ice tilt, supposedly, according to Loach, based off of what he based that off of the 3-on-3, and I can't say that that's a legitimate way to gauge it, because
3-on-3 is like an arcade.
The 3-on-3 is an arcade mode. It's not supposed to have ice tilt. So, anyways, Loach.
Anytime he tells me things about a game, I always take it with a grain of salt, because sometimes he's right, but most of the time he's not. Like, he's partially right a lot of the time.
Yeah, which is why I told Loach, I will not be buying the net. I will not be buying an NHL. I will not buy another NHL game until the Avs finally have a fair shot.
So it looks like you're not buying one for a while, then.
For a while, yeah.
At least a couple of years.
Yeah, I'm tired. Like, and it, listeners, you know, that might be considered fair weather fan. It's not a fair weather fan when it's a video game. I will still watch the Avs on TV. I hope that at some point they'll, you know, maybe they'll get a lucky streak and fucking start winning for some reason, like the fucking Rockies. Who knows?
It's funny because everybody says I'm a glutton for punishment because, you know, I'm a Lions fan when it comes to football and I'm an Avs fan when it comes to hockey. Everybody's, oh, you must just love the losers. Yeah, kind of, but I mean,
I'm a 49ers fan. We were great for a long time. Still a 49ers fan.
I'm still a Chargers fan, even though we changed cities again.
They had to just rename you guys the Nomads.
I'm down with that.
So, you know, it's, I get it. But when it comes to a video game, you know, I'm not gonna buy a game where I know my favorite team has no chance of winning. Because what am I going to do? Oh, well, you know, I could go into the game and play as fucking Tom Brady the rest of my fucking career. You know? All right, well, do they give me the deflated balls perk? Is one of my celebration stances, sitting down and moping like a child?
No, but you do get the misplaced high five.
Yeah. You know, it's still perfect. Sometimes go look at that picture of Brady when I'm having a bad day.
I love watching that video.
It's a great game.
The best part was I watched that with a Patriots fan in the room.
Oh, man. Aside from that, we've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight, which Josiah doesn't have.
Yeah, I haven't because I'm poor. I'm saving my money / video game time for when Destiny comes out.
Yeah, that and you have a girlfriend, so we understand.
I was going to say, it's actually just been work. It was actually kind of funny. She actually thought I was fighting with you guys because I haven't been able to play video games recently. Yeah. She's like, are you fighting with the guys? I was like, no. But you don't ever...
We thought you were fighting with us, too.
It's all your fault.
No, it was just funny.
Miles is fighting with us also, so...
Yeah, it was just funny. She thought we were fighting, apparently, because I don't get on and play. I'm just like, I come home and I want to sleep. I'm tired.
Yeah, you're wiped.
But... Yeah, since the new coworker is actually working out pretty well, I should be... Have you ever had one of those days where you wake up and from the moment your feet hit the floor, you know that you should just hit the reset button and start over?
That's every day of my life right now, Josiah.
Yeah, that's how my day
was. I wake up in the morning and I'm just like, God damn it.
Anytime a summer holiday comes around, I'm like, fuck me.
Dude, it was issues from the moment I got out of bed.
Sorry, dude.
It is what it is. Still got done with the day, managed to make it, so.
Well, Dead by Daylight, they finally had, what's funny is, the last 2 days they've had 2 updates for it, and we still haven't played it yet, to see if they actually fixed some of the problems they've been having. It's a good game, but goddamn, that fucking inviting your friends every time
to
join a match is annoying as fuck. And not having dedicated servers.
You know what? It's still not as annoying as the fucking hook lag.
That's what I'm getting at. The P2P, like, so there's the... So the game does P2P, and the second you get fucking hooked, and if you get pulled off of it, suddenly you have just massive amounts of lag.
So listeners, when we say hook lag, it's in the game, the killer's got to pick you up and put you on a hook to sacrifice you to the spider god. And if you get off this hook, from that point on, you're going to be lagged, no matter what you do.
Yeah, it's fucking annoying as fuck.
Yeah, you can only run past a killer so many times before he eventually just kills you.
Miles and I have pulled off a couple of great escapes.
Yeah.
Things we shouldn't have been able
to do. There's times when I shouldn't have been able to do it.
We confuse the fuck out of killers because we play as the same character, just different clothes.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious if they see the like gamer tag above the head when they snag.
Oh, damn.
I was worried you're gonna. Sorry, I had to turn off the sound on the background of my PlayStation because it's waterfalls. I was afraid Josiah was gonna fall asleep.
I mean, I'm still pretty awake. It's just really relaxing.
I like it here. It's very soothing.
Marco, your voice could put a grown man to sleep.
Do you still think it's worth the price?
I think it's a $20 game.
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
Yeah,
I played it. It was only $30, and fucking
drop a 10 more.
Well, here's the thing though. Friday the 13th was $40.
I feel like I got more out of Friday the 13th than I do Dead by Daylight.
Really?
Yeah.
Is Friday the 13th really worth $40?
I'd say it's worth $30.
Okay, I feel like they're about the same.
So for me, okay.
Like I've seen gameplay for the Friday the 13th that doesn't.
Yes
seem
and no.
Really,
like I feel better. Like okay, I think Dead by Daylight's a prettier game, but playing Friday the 13th, what I played of it because I played that one a little more, is it has a lot more content to it.
Really?
And now that they're adding the single player to it,
they're adding a single player to it.
Mm-hmm. Which to me, player? It's gonna be just like Naughty Bear.
Oh, okay.
So, are they gonna put a Jason X map in it though?
That's already rumors and talks right now. They're trying to get approval.
Put somebody on a fucking corkscrew.
The other rumor is that they're considering and they're trying to get approval to add a third mode where they're going to put Ash in the game.
Yeah, I just don't see how it's fair.
Yeah.
Ash versus Jason. I'm sorry, Jason's a fucking great killer, but Ash...
Yeah, but that dude's like Ash. Blessed by a god.
Right? Miles and I have been playing No Man's Sky. No Man's Sky recently had an update that was pretty hefty, and it was supposed to fix a lot of the problems that people had with it, one of them being the Atlas, and adding more story and more lore to it. Based off of what I've played, it is not that much different.
No, not really. There's a lot more like personal narrative in it.
Yeah.
And they made the crafting a little bit more involved, but beyond that, there's really not... I mean, I think it looks a little bit prettier. I think they went through and polished up some of the graphics in it a little bit.
Well, the thing is, that's not really the case, because when I looked it up on that, it turns out like the game gets prettier the more powerful your system is. Well, we're all on PS4 Pros now, so game's gonna look prettier regardless.
And I'm on a better TV than I was.
Yeah, so like the game automatically gets upgraded as your system goes up, because I've seen it run on a PC. And on a PC, it looks freaking phenomenal. But that, again, is because of the math in the coding. Like, how the game is generated is based off of, you know, what your system's able to do. So if you have a really powerful system, it's going to look really, really good.
Yeah. And you and I had to completely restart. We couldn't carry anything over from our old saves.
Yeah.
So I was... It was kind of a challenge in itself, just because you go from having pretty decent equipment and ships and backpack upgrades to nothing again, and it's that much more difficult or time-consuming to get a decent ship, decent weapon, you know, stuff like that. Unless, of course, you're playing your file, because you're stumbling across all kinds of shit like a fucking Pez ship.
That was so fucking funny. I saw that thing, I was like, what the fuck is that? Click on it, I'm like, it doesn't, it only has, like, and the guy was like, he'll give it to me, and I'm like, it doesn't have as many slots, but it is fucking cool.
Well, that and the, did you see the bonuses on it?
Oh, yeah.
I was like, man, those bonuses are almost worth it alone, because right? You got, like, 50% to almost everything.
Yeah, it's fucking crazy, so, like, I didn't even think about the Pez thing until you were like, it looks like a Pez dispenser.
Yeah. Some asshole's flying this thing through space.
One of the things that was weird was like was what happened to you. Like, you got onto yours and your profile said you didn't have a save, right? And in my case, when I got in there, I had a save, but it put me on a space station, which was not where I left, and I had no ship. Like, I was walking around, I'm like, what the fuck, how am I supposed to get off this place? Like, do I grab one of the aliens and see if I can steal a ship? But yeah, I was just kind of stuck there, so I just ended up just doing a new game because of that.
Yeah, and even when we restarted it, it put you on basically, what, a desert planet? And it put me on a toxic-ass one. I was like, well, this is a great start.
Yeah. Yeah, put you on a toxic one, put me on a planet that was on fire constantly. So apparently I was just, you know, dying the entire time, and, you know, as were you. So you'd constantly have to go out, get resources, come back, sit in your ship, wait for it to go back up, go out, get resources. You know, it was, you know, that's a bit annoying. But overall, I haven't noticed, like, much of a difference. I did notice that some of the creatures are a little bit better looking than they were. I don't think they have. But, you know, that doesn't mean much considering, like, the one that you came across that was just, you know, can you even lift, bro?
Yeah, that fucking kangaroo one.
Yeah.
And that was a little bit bigger than, you know, not bigger than the biggest ones I've seen in there from playing before. But on average, that was still, you know, way larger. So I'm wondering if they actually did scale up a decent amount of the creatures.
Yeah, some of them. And some of them
obviously, made, like, we're still not going to see anything like we did in the trailer where it's like a fucking brontosaurus.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I mean, the closest thing I've seen was that that one moon that I went to that was completely just all vegetation and fucking oceans and shit. But it had no fucking animal life whatsoever on the entire thing, which made no sense. The biggest downfall to No Man's Sky, and I don't know if they've quite understood this, is the fact that they showed off a trailer that showed the game at its most pristine and idyllic look of, like, this is what we're going for. Well, that's the problem. You're using randomly generated worlds, and the likelihood of us finding planets that look as beautiful and lush as that is slim to none. I mean, it's the equivalent of, like, looking for actual life on other planets in reality. Only I know that's been skewed in the game because just look at our fucking solar system. One planet out of nine. Yes, nine listeners. Fuck you, Pluto's a planet.
They still really haven't delivered on the multiplayer aspect either.
Yeah.
You know, like, supposedly we can find each other now, but it's still not truly a multiplayer experience.
Yeah, you both have to find a Stargate, and one person has to give you, the other person has to give you their Stargate code.
Yeah.
And since you're both,
I think you just appear as a blue orb of light.
Yeah, you're a blue orb of light, and when you go there, if you're both following the Atlas is going to take you to two separate parts of the galaxy. When it comes down to it, Miles, do you feel like it's worth re-downloading and playing again?
I mean, I'm having fun with it again, but, you know, it's not something that I'm putting as much time into as I was before. I mean, it's still fun to go, you know, putt around to different planets and see the crazy-ass shit that, you know, just happens to be there.
It's worth casually going in and screwing around.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't see myself, you know, really pouring time into it, and unless they ever truly deliver the multiplayer aspect.
So, Anderson, how about you go ahead and give your review?
All right. Taking a step back into the past, let's talk about Sonic Mania. It's pretty fun. The storyline takes place right after Sonic and Knuckles. It's $20. I think it's totally worth the money. If you're an old-school Sonic fan, it actually caters to you. Touch up on a little bit of, like, some of the pixels, how they used to do the old school. The camera can actually finally keep up with Sonic as he's hauling ass across the stage. Okay. Overall, it's like Shovel Knight, where it plays old school, but it's got a bunch of upgraded new features like most games do. Okay. Something that the Sonic series definitely needs. If you're big into old school games, you love Sonic, I think it's a must buy. I've had fun with it so far.
So that'll be a good one for Sonic fans. I mean, that'll be a huge change for Sega.
For me, this is a good this is a good step for Sega.
Yeah. So a review that Miles and I have is the new Uncharted, The Lost Legacy. My playthrough took me about 9 hours. Miles, yours took you a little bit longer, but you also found more treasures than I did, so you probably did a little more exploring.
Yeah, I spent so much fucking time exploring and stealthily killing fuckers in that game. So
yeah, the stealth is really what ranks up the time for me. So
yeah.
Although I did notice you have two or three trophies that I don't have, all of which I would have had if I had just gone fucking full on. You know, stealth is optional for this area.
Yeah.
If I had just gone in as Josiah, I would have been fine.
So it would be the game an hour sooner.
The story involves Chloe and Nadine. It takes place after Uncharted 4. For those of you listeners who are curious about when it actually takes place, it does take place after 4, so it's not the moment in 4 where Drake is looking around in his attic and he finds a note from Chloe that says, you know, basically you should join me on this one, and he says, no thanks, and kind of puts the item down from Chloe and walks away, just, you know, reminiscing in his attic. This is actually after them, and it's after Nadine's whole bad experience. Well, her bad experience with the Drakes. She is very hard to like at first because you spend so much time hating her in 4.
Well, that, and she constantly gets in the fucking way for the first few missions.
Yeah.
Like, constantly.
She's really over that bitch. Yeah, I mean, she's real, like, she's really a noob, and they kind of make that pretty evident. She's a noob to treasure hunting. She's so by the books and so military-like that she doesn't really know how to be easygoing like, you know, like the Drakes do, and easygoing like Chloe is. And that's one thing that's kind of helps with the story as well, because it gives Chloe a lot of really funny dialogue that kind of keeps things going, and is the main reason why you want to stick with the story. It took a long time for me to actually warm up to Nadine.
Yeah, it took a few chapters for her to develop a personality.
Yeah. But I liked it. I thought it was worth playing. It's definitely worth the money. I mean, $40 for what is essentially almost a full-length Uncharted game. I can't really argue against that.
Right. You can definitely tell while it's not bad in quality really whatsoever, you can definitely tell it's not as polished as 4 was altogether.
Yeah.
You know, there's some, you know, movement and mechanics that are a little bit blocky and whatnot. The art is beautiful. I mean, that's on point. But in some of the combat mini games are probably my biggest gripe out of that entire game. It's just annoying because you're not really given any kind of direction on it. It's just, hey, do better.
Yeah. Like, you know, oh, try to dodge more. Well, great. Thanks. I do have to agree, some of the animations and some of the movements a little blocky. But that said, listeners, yes, it's not as good as the other ones. We don't expect it to be, though.
Right.
And neither do they. I mean, you know, when they charge $40 for the game, you're like, wow, that's kind of a steal. Because it still has better quality than a lot of other $60 games out there. You know, fucking Assassin's Creed.
Yeah.
You know, when I'm not falling through worlds and, you know, generally the game does what I'm asking it to, it doesn't take me like 1,000 tries. That's, you know, that's pretty good.
Did you notice with some of the level layouts, some of them feel like they were like the same layouts from 4, just reskinned? Like, not a lot of them, but there was a few.
Yeah, I did notice that. Particularly in the, like, when it was the big open area that you were driving around in.
Yeah.
And you'd go to, like, one specific ruin.
Yeah.
You know, you'd be sitting there in the ruin areas, and, like, every now and then I'd come across one that kind of felt exactly like one from 4.
Yeah. Yeah, some of the platforming areas, so, yeah, too. I was just like, all right, I've done this series of jumps before when I was running for my life in 4.
So yeah, I mean, it does feel like that in some areas. But overall, I thought it was a good game.
Oh, yeah.
I think it's worth the money. So yeah, pick it up.
Sea of Thieves had a minor update. Jumped on the open beta a little bit the other day. It's prettier. They polished it up a bit more, and, you know, I am on a prettier TV, so that might be part of it. It's a lot more involved. They have the cannonball system. You have to constantly reload. And it's the same thing with everything, you know, food, wood planks to repair your ship. So it's a lot more involved than it was, and your item wheels are completely full now.
Okay.
I'm a little disappointed they didn't include another instrument. You know, it's still just the accordion and the hurdy-gurdy. But but I mean, it's still fun. There's really nothing new, though, in the grand scheme of things. It's still, you know, hunt for treasure and drop it off. So hopefully they'll expand on it a little bit more. But
BattleTech got delayed until 2018.
Surprise, surprise.
Not really surprised. I'm not worried about it. They came out and said, yeah, we don't think we can put it out this year and put out a good product. So I'm willing to wait. And Ace Combat also got pushed back to 2018.
Really?
Yeah. They said first quarter 2018.
All right.
Not really shocked on that one either. There was a long period of no news, and they actually just put out a trailer on for Gamescom.
Oh, did they?
Yeah, and at the end it said 2018. So, okay. It's nice because now I'm not gonna feel like the next 3 months are just gonna be like, here, finish a game in 2 weeks. Here, finish another game.
And we are getting into actual gaming season again. So
I mean, Destiny comes out in, what is it, 2 weeks?
Yeah, with Uncharted coming out, or just that just came out. We have Destiny coming out. We have Shadow War coming out. Fucking.
Shit, I'm replaying Stick of Truth because I'm getting ready for Fractured Butthole.
Yeah, Fractured Butthole. Call of Duty. I mean, like, it's gonna be crazy. Yeah. So
I'm a little. It's disappointing, but I'm kind of glad that some of these games are getting pushed back. That way, I won't feel so rushed.
Yeah, oh, dude, definitely. I think the spring release that we typically get from that, like, February to, like, April section is going to be busy as fuck.
We're going to get screwed.
Oh, it will be.
Yeah.
Our paychecks are.
It's kind of just going from having all that jammed into wintertime to having it jammed into springtime, but.
Spring is our winter here.
Yeah. I was going to say, I don't get snowed in during the November to December time frame. It's always that January through March.
Vargo and I both watched Death Note on Netflix.
Oh yeah. No, I watched it too. I
forgot about that.
Yeah. I need to go home and watch it.
Anderson and I both watched it. Miles, you enjoyed it.
Yeah, I enjoyed
it. You've also seen the anime.
I didn't finish the anime, but I did watch, I think, like 7 or 8 episodes of the first season.
I feel like I don't need to watch the anime.
After watching both of them, I like the movie better. It's less plot holes than the anime.
Yeah, which is saying something, listeners, because there was a shit ton of plot holes.
Yeah, I have to turn my brain off.
a lot of kind of illogical kind of choices and conversations.
Very Japanese plot line.
It definitely did win Japanese on itself.
I'd say
not the demon itself.
No,
one of the main characters, and it's just comes across as like, really, like, this is your plot line for this character.
Dude, Willem Dafoe was badass in that. I mean, he didn't even wear makeup. I mean, that's fucking great.
Get the fuck out of me. Dude will always be fucking scary.
Yeah, when they showed it fucking laughing, I was like, yeah, that's William Dafoe. Like, he looks like that without any makeup.
Yeah.
Like, he just looks like that.
They just threw a wig on him and some pauldrons, and he was good to go.
He was all right, you know.
The best part about it, honestly.
Easily. Hands down.
Yeah. The story is pretty predictable.
Yeah, it is.
The only thing that threw me off was the character L, and I just sat there going, "This is the most ludicrous storyline ever for a character."
Yeah.
It was just kind of annoying for me. Because
I can tell you from watching the little bit of the anime I did, they pretty much kept it true to form because he's pretty much almost exactly the same in the anime.
Which shows that I could not watch the anime without going.
Yeah, it's.
Really?
It's but they did change the protagonist, if you can call him that. I guess, I don't know, the other male lead, I guess you want to say, because I don't know if you can really call him a protagonist. But they make him a straight-up dick in the anime, whereas in the movie you're a little bit more relatable with him. And I think all the actors and actresses did a great job in the movie. It's just some of the character development and direction was really, lame.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. For me, it was mostly just, we're gonna put this part of the story in there. We're not gonna explain why or for what reason when we've had this character. Like, it's specifically like L. Like, we've made this character like he's supposed to be super logical, and then like he makes the most illogical response ever.
Yeah, it becomes unhinged.
Based off of no
evidence.
Evidence or, you know, or input. He's just making conclusions based off of nothing. And, you know, the fact that they're like, oh, he's the greatest detective to ever live, and I'm sitting there going, nope, that's Batman. But yeah, I mean, the story is decent, it's alright. The jewel is to watch William Dafoe and his character, and I don't think they gave it nearly enough screen time.
It was fucking cool looking.
Yeah, they did a fan-fucking-tastic job creating that character.
Yeah.
I wanted more of that character, less of everybody else.
Yeah, I expected him to have a little more interaction, though, with him. As he was making these choices, making decisions, and
not just kind of the devil on the shoulder kind of aspect.
Exactly. And I expected it to be a little bit more of him trying to persuade him to...
They made him more serious, too. In the anime, he's a little bit more goofy, you know, almost comedy relief-esque.
Gotcha. I also expected expected some point for the story to give like some kind of origin for it and everything like that. It never happens.
No, it doesn't.
They start leading towards that when he's doing research on like where it came from, and it never shows up. I'm like, all right, well, that's great, thanks. You showed me some Japanese pictures and paintings, and that's about it. All right, well, let's not take that any further.
Research done.
Yeah, it's like you know, it's going into Supernatural, and they're going to go into research mode, and instead of completing it, they just go and kill the creature. Yeah. I enjoyed part of the ending. I felt like it kind of felt unfinished.
Yeah, it did.
I don't know if that's because they're hoping to make a sequel.
I think it would be the first sequel that Netflix does, wouldn't it? I don't think they've had a Netflix original movie.
I don't think they've done that yet. But right now, from what I'm hearing, it's getting a lot of crap from fans and stuff like that. But I mean, you know, fans get upset over the smallest, shit.
Yeah, especially with how popular that series was when it first came out.
Yeah. And I gotta be honest, after watching the movie, I'm like, how is the TV show, like, how is it even a show?
Yeah.
Yeah, we're like, discussing like the show.
It seems like so much has to have so much filler and so much like just bullshit that I would just go, okay, this is not worth my time. You know, kind of like Attack on Titan.
That just had too much crying for me.
Yeah.
Well, I was drinking watching from, it, so.
If anyone from Anorex Oasis hears this, I'm sorry. Attack on Titan's fucking terrible. That just sucks.
I usually have about a couple shots of whiskey in me when I started watching it. So I could explain why I was able to watch it. I get confused.
I could watch anything when I'm drunk.
Ooh, pretty.
I was going to say, apparently I'm the weird one in the room. I actually liked it.
Attack on Titan?
Yeah.
No, we agree. You're the weird looking man.
I couldn't do it.
Don't make me hurt you, Anderson.
Oh, you heard me earlier. I was like, Josiah could probably kick me through a wall.
I couldn't get into it.
Say through a wall.
It's too ridiculous. I mean, Attack on Titan's just... It's so fucking far gone and bad storytelling that I just sit there going, this is awful. But I feel like... But keep in mind, I feel that way about a lot of Japanese anime. There's very few Japanese anime that I can watch and truly enjoy.
Yeah.
I think Akira is fucking amazing. That's fantastic. Great storytelling. I love Ghost in the Shell. I love some of the classics. I cannot do a lot of modern anime, because a lot of modern anime has no story tracking. It has no, makes no sense. Like on some of the shit that they do. Like randomly they'll make a character, oh, this person's now a Titan. Why? Because reasons.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really been able to watch a whole lot of modern anime either. I basically quit watching like 5 years ago. Every once in a while, a series will pop up that will catch my interest, but
yeah.
It doesn't even seem like it can hold my interest through a whole series anymore.
Yeah, I get it.
I like the
Ghost in the Shell.
Yeah, but that shit came out in 2007.
I know, right?
And the new Ghost in the Shell stuff they've made is all garbage.
It's garbage.
I think one of my favorite series of all time is Trigun.
Yeah, that's also older than dirt.
Yeah, older, yeah.
I was going to say, the only stuff that I really still follow is, like, the new Gundam series that's coming out. And the one they're doing now is just a retelling of the original series with better animation, which is really fucking good.
Yeah.
If you've ever seen the original, go watch these ones.
Okay.
I've seen the original, so I'll go watch the new ones.
Yeah, then yeah, they're awesome. But outside of that, I
can't
name a series I've managed to finish.
That's not old.
The modern stuff just comes across like a lot of it just comes across as like they're trying to tell stories like Stephen King used to write books.
On Coke?
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's squid ink Coke.
It's black Coke. How do they make it black, squid ink?
It's just funny because, you know, my friends all recommend a series to me, and I'll give it 3 episodes.
Yeah.
I do that with every show that's ever... If you can't hook me in 3 episodes, fuck it.
Yeah, I get it.
And I just can't anymore. The animation's great, but the storytelling's just... crap. I don't know at what point everybody lost the ability to tell the story.
If you don't care about the protagonist, you're never going to get into it.
Yeah.
End of story.
That's what I did with Vargo when I started to suggest, is it called, like, Friends from College? I'm like, oh, it's kind of like Friends. And it just dwindled so fucking hard. I'm like, maybe you shouldn't watch this. Because
I
did, and I'm kind of regretting it.
You liked Friends from College?
Yeah, I thought it was pretty funny. Yeah. To be fair, I was only half paying attention, so I probably missed a lot of shit, but the funny parts were really funny.
Miles told me that, like, this show dwindles into, like, nothing but fucking drama.
Yeah, it really does.
Towards the end.
So I can't do that. I'm not a fan of drama. I can't do it. Like, it's like watching Lifetime all day.
Yeah, the first half of the show was really funny, though.
Oh, and, like, I agree with you. The funny parts were fucking hilarious. But there was too much down. You know, it didn't keep up the pace enough.
Yeah, especially the last couple episodes.
Yeah.
Since we're on TV shows, one thing I want to bring up is, Miles, you finished The Defenders.
I did. Yeah.
Anderson, did you finish it?
I thought we talked about that last week, though.
I didn't think you finished it, though. You'd gotten almost all the way through it.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that's right. I was like 8 episodes, or 7 episodes in. I had like 1 or 2 left to watch.
Yeah. So, you finished it, Anderson finished it. What are your guys' final thoughts?
It's still better than Iron Fist.
It's still better than Iron Fist.
And
that's because of not Iron Fist.
Yeah, yeah.
That's because of the other characters, right?
It's just because, you know, you got Jessica Jones and Luke Cage again.
Yeah.
You know,
Daredevil wasn't that great.
It wasn't a bad watch. You know, it's good to watch. Like we were telling Josiah earlier in the week, it's good to watch so that way you know what the hell's going on in that universe. But beyond that, I mean, it wasn't amazing. It's not like a Netflix top 10 or anything like that.
I was telling Vardy, like, my biggest beef is still Iron Fist. It's always going to be. Just because of how much that changed his core personality from the comics to the TV show.
Yeah.
Like, I can't stand the character anymore, because I'm used to Iron Fist being the optimistic, the good-going one of the group, and now he's a whiny little bitch.
Yeah, he's kind of like a whiny millennial.
So he's like Daredevil.
No, believe it or not, he's a lot better in this
episode. Daredevil's a little more optimistic than Iron Fist in this show.
That's good.
He's a lot better in this episode than he has been in the
previous seasons. I kept waiting for Jessica Jones to turn over to Danny and tell Danny stop being a little bitch. I've been waiting for the entire...
Every time I see Danny, that's all I can think of is...
That's pretty much what he did. Yeah. One of the best parts is when Electra beats the shit out of him.
Nice. Okay, so based off of what you guys have said for input on that, I don't think I'm going to continue watching Marvel shows.
Yeah, I was about to say, if you do anything of Defenders, see if somebody post up a video of Defenders in 5 minutes or something, 5 minutes or less.
Yeah, I think I will, I don't even think I'll watch Punisher until Josiah watches it and says, I need to watch this. Josiah watches it and the first thing out of his mouth is, don't do it, that's a bad sign, listeners, that's really bad.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it is. Because chances are I will watch all of it in one sitting.
Yeah.
And
that's what I'm betting on. So,
yeah.
We never do that.
It's the Punisher.
Well, you know, and also given the fact that, like, you're the biggest Punisher fan in the group. So
yeah.
I would, defer to you on whether or not it's decent quality or any good.
Yeah, and I mean, especially since I don't know if you've been following comic news, but I almost started reading comics again because they're giving him the War Machine suit.
I don't know if that's a good idea.
That's kind of where I want to... I'm almost about to go back to reading the comics again just because of that.
Tony Stark, are you sure about this? You know who this is, right?
I reread the issue where Punisher runs over Wolverine with the steamroller.
Yeah, that was a good one.
That was a great one.
But yeah,
it's really bumpy. Off using a shotgun to the face of Wolverine to stun him.
Like I said, I'll let you know, because I thought Punisher was the only good part of season 2 of Daredevil.
Yeah. No,
I feel like they handled it really well. Especially given the backstory they went with.
Yeah.
Because they could have picked one of several. So I feel like they're going in a good way with this one.
Okay. Yeah, so that might end up being the only show I watch, unless they indeed do bring back Jessica Jones. So.
They're supposed to.
Yeah, I want to see Jessica Jones.
Doesn't always mean will. Anderson and I got to go see The Hitman's Bodyguard. Anderson, what'd you think?
I want a fucking sequel. That movie was great. Those two had phenomenal chemistry.
Yeah, I would even go for a non-sequel just to have them partnered up again.
In another movie.
I think that would be a great trilogy. A Samuel L. Jackson and Ryan Reynolds trilogy of movies where they just get together and their characters have nothing to do with the previous film.
Yeah, just keep them together?
Yeah, just keep them together. They could even be in the same universe, just keep them together, and they see, like, they show shit in the background, like the crazy-ass car chase shit that's going on in the Hitman's Bodyguard. That would be great. Hitman's Bodyguard was great. Yeah, absolutely. They are fucking hilarious together.
Yeah, you said that once, no, buddy cop movie, those two keep flip-flopping good cop, bad cop.
Yeah. Yeah, they're so great.
The movie starts off slow, and it starts after the initial kickoff, it starts getting really good.
Oh yeah, and this, like, when he says slow, listeners, it's not like it doesn't take long for that to go on.
I would say probably like 10 minutes.
It's just like it does a great setup of Ryan Reynolds' character, and immediately goes into, well, here you go.
Then shit goes downhill. I was laughing pretty hard watching this movie.
Yeah, there were definitely, like just absolutely hysterical
moments.
And
there was a lot of stuff that wasn't in the trailers they put in the movie, which is great.
And I do feel like there were moments where it felt clearly like this is not scripted. This is just them, like, literally,
ad-libbing.
Here's two lines, go.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see how far they went off script.
Yeah.
And they just kept it.
I mean, given those two guys, you're right. They probably just gave them an outline and were like, here, make up your own movie.
Absolutely. And it's the great thing about it is, like, I feel like I haven't seen a good buddy pairing like this in a long time. I mean, I think the best one that comes close to it, in all honesty, is probably Lethal Weapon. Just of how they play off each other. You have the straight guy and you have the comic relief. And in this case, it's completely evident, like, you have the straight guy, and you have the guy who's the comedy relief, and he's just gonna, like, he's the crazy guy, he's gonna fucking ruin this guy's day. So.
And I love Samuel Jackson's character this time around, too.
Yeah,
he did
great.
A really good job. And, like, at the end of the movie, you can't disagree with any of his logic after he starts explaining himself throughout the movie.
Yeah. So, definitely go see it, listeners, it's worth a ticket, it's worth seeing. It's a shame that it did not come. I feel like this should have come out in the middle of summer. This would have helped summer films.
I'm putting it in my collection when it comes out.
Absolutely. It's a buy when it comes out for me. So what about you guys? Anything else? Nothing else you want to cover? Miles?
No.
You're good?
I think that was it.
Sweet. You have to keep in mind, I can't see when you're shaking your head.
I mean, the closest I can say is I can have a review of Uncharted for next week. I'm probably going to go pick it up tomorrow.
Sweet. Yeah, that was really funny, by the way.
What?
When I was texting you guys at like 5 o'clock in the morning. Because I played it from 10 o'clock, and I stopped at 5. Like, around 5. And I'm like sitting there texting you guys, like, it's really good. And like, you know, giving my little tidbits here and there. And you go, it's out? I forgot you wake up around that time.
I had no idea it was out. Like, I thought it was still, like, a month or so away.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was actually a pretty good start to the day. Find out that it was that it was already out. It's like a little Christmas present. But yeah, I'm gonna go trade in some games. I'm gonna go trade in Mass Effect since they've abandoned it. And
I've abandoned.
They still haven't fixed that glitch.
Yeah, they still haven't fixed that. My dad actually played through the entire thing again. And what's again, really funny is after I told him not to, he's like, yeah, I shouldn't have. It was really bad. I was like, I told you. It was a bad game. Like, it's still not fixed.
Yeah, so since they refused to fix that, fuck them, I'm not going to finish their game.
Yeah. I wouldn't.
I'll YouTube the cutscenes.
Yeah, especially since it sounds like the studio is completely abandoning it. Like, from the sound of it, it sounds like based off of EA's input, it sounds like that they are not going to go back and make any DLC. They're not going to make any expansions.
Did you read that article?
Which one?
The official release from BioWare, because it sounds like they were pointing the finger at gamers, and they said, yeah, we're abandoning this, and we're not making another one because you didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. So it was,
fuck you.
It was absolutely that. They basically blamed us for making a bad game. It was our fault for not liking the
the bad game. Product.
Yeah.
I blame Canada.
We all should.
Yeah, so I think if Anthem sucks, we can officially call BioWare dead.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That makes me a little worried.
They everything into the new IP, right?
Here's the thing, though. Based off of that, like, that response that right there made me immediately go, well, good luck ever getting me to pick up Anthem.
Yeah.
Because if this is the way you're going to react to your gamers and blame us for you making a bad product, what's going to happen when people say, Anthem has no storyline and I don't want to play it because of that?
You didn't pay attention
to what happened with Destiny, right?
You think about it, game developers have been doing that more and more. Ubisoft did the same damn thing. EA did that as well. You know, it's just...
Oh, yeah.
You know, what happened to the customer's right, especially when you get
Ubisoft
thousands
did that
of
with,
complaints.
Unity.
With Unity.
Unity was terrible.
Yeah. Assassin's Creed Unity, they did that, right? They blamed us for it.
Yeah.
As soon as I beat Unity, I traded that shit in. I was like, it's not
I didn't even
my
finish
question.
It. I was just like, fuck you.
Oh, dude, yeah. The ending got fucking weird, too.
The only thing that gives me any faith that Anthem is going to be good is Casey Hudson's working on it again.
So,
but even then, that's still obviously the BioWare that we all knew and loved is long gone. And I feel like he's probably the last remnant of that.
Yeah, especially since EA has it split up amongst multiple studios across the continent. That makes me a little worried. Bungie has... granted, Bungie has the same thing, relatively. But... Bungie had, the whole thing was, with Destiny 2, was Bungie had final say. Everything had to go through them.
Yeah.
So my question is, who's the main developer on Anthem that's working on this that everything has to go through?
Yeah. Sorry for taking us down this little rabbit trail. I totally forgot about it until right
now.
No,
that's fine. I totally missed on it, on the fact that, they had an article and EA basically blamed us.
You know, I still wonder, even if it had a different name, if it would have ranked better. Because I still feel like if they put a different name on it, if it wasn't a Mass Effect product, it would have gotten a higher rating.
It was called Andromeda.
But I still feel like it would have been a shitty game.
Yeah.
But it wouldn't have as high.
I feel like wouldn't have hammered.
I feel like
it
wouldn't have had anything to measure or to measure against. Yes, I agree with that. Like, we wouldn't have been sitting there comparing this new game to the quality of the last trilogy. And speaking of which, the funniest thing I ever saw or that I ever heard was when Miles told me about a guy who said that he's playing the original trilogy and thought it was garbage.
Yeah.
I'm like, are you basing this off of a graphical comparison, or are you basing this off of actual story? Because,
I mean, we've talked about this. The first game, the gameplay is not aged well.
No.
The graphics are pretty aged. They don't look that great anymore.
Yeah. They're, listeners, you can't see this, but I'm doing the sign with my hands. The graphics were great at the time, yeah, when they first came out. But even the graphics were improved on in 2 and even in 3.
Yeah.
And it was in the same generation for consoles. But yeah, I'd rather EA come back and give me the trilogy again. And
I've said it before, I'll say it again. You give me the first trilogy, and I will pay for all of the DLC again.
Yeah, I would pay for it again. It was a great series.
I've played through that series at least 6 or 7 times. Yeah, I'll do it another 4
or 5. Update the graphics. And the thing is BioWare is like, oh, well, we can't do that. Why? Because we don't have the time. You don't have to do it. There are third-party companies out there that do this shit all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Give it to someone else.
Give it to someone else.
One of our HD not have the studio one of my
favorite remakes.
Right? Give it to someone else. Make money. I don't understand where they're not getting this.
Yeah.
Well, I was about to say, like, an example for me is Nintendo gave over Wind Waker HD over to a
take
third-party.
Take underpants, make profit.
Fuck, exactly. Amazing.
I'm hopeful for Anthem, mostly because it looks pretty, but, I mean, Andromeda didn't look bad either when they were showing it off.
Yeah, and that's the thing is, like, my dad and I were talking about this with the fact that, like, the graphics, you know, he's, oh, the graphics look great. I'm like, yes, it looks great in a trailer or in a controlled environment with gameplay. But if you had actual gamers in there, we would do so many crazy shit, like, so much crazy shit that it's like, you don't know if the game's going to react well to that.
Yeah.
Like, we don't even know if the game's going to have a fucking story. I am of the mindset that I don't think it will. I don't think it's going to have any story whatsoever.
I feel like it's going to be another one of those get online with your buddies and make your own fun kind of games, which are cool for like a month.
Yeah.
No, we already know a game that's going to be this time. It's going to be Monster Hunter.
Yeah. Monster Hunter, I expect no story.
Yeah, the story is killing bigger monsters.
Yeah, the story is finding bigger things to kill.
Nothing but shenanigans.
I mean, this is why I want to get this game and play it with you guys. It's up our group's alley. Yeah. It's literally
go outrun Godzilla before Josiah kills it.
The answer is probably.
Do it over the corner.
Yeah, Vargo sure hopes so.
I'm also looking at playing the Sea of Thieves while drinking rum, because I can't do an accent, so I gotta actually drink the rum to get the accent.
So if you can't do the accent, you should at least be shit-faced like an actual pirate.
Yeah, that's the plan.
Oh, man. So listeners, go on to Facebook, tell us what you think. You know, let us know if you think that Anthem's going to be as much as it's cracked out to be. I have very little faith in it right now, so
I'm still sitting at cautious optimism.
Let's hope so.
I'm hoping it'll be cool. I mean, this is, again, right up my alley. Mech suits with big guns.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I want to play this, but at the same time, I feel like it has a high potential to not be that great.
Yeah, I have more hope for Titanfall 3.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want another single player campaign.
What about Battlefront?
And I just want them to fix the
they gave us an Imperial campaign. That game was bought before they gave me an option.
You know, I'm moderately surprised that we didn't hear anything on throughout all the conferences that occurred this year was anything on the next Borderlands.
The only thing we've seen is the tech demo for the graphics, and the graphics engine for Borderlands has never been visually impressive, so I don't know why they showed that off at DICE in the first place.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe they got told they gotta show something?
I guess. When they were showing, like, because they were showing off the new lighting engine, they're like, oh yeah, watch the lighting through fabric.
We got shadows!
Like yeah, like through fabric and stuff like that. I'm like, nobody, you guys are showing off old tech. Like, this kind of tech's been around for a long fucking time, guys.
Right, and like, it doesn't make a massive difference in a cel-shaded game.
Yeah. And it's not gonna change your cell shading technology, which they vehemently say it's not called cell shaded. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
All your shit is outlined. It's cell shaded, you jackasses.
It's the art style, bro.
It's the art style. It's all right. None of us are criticizing you for it. Just
bro.
You know, don't try to call it something else that it's not.
It's high contrast art deco.
We'll see. We know they're making one, but we don't know why they haven't shown it, right?
Yeah, I mean, I know I know they're working on We Happy Few, but I gotta imagine Gearbox is big enough to be having two teams. So,
well, We Happy Few started out with a small team, and Gearbox picked it up.
Yeah.
So they're just publishing it. It doesn't sound like they're actually doing any of the development.
Hmm.
Speaking of which, listeners, really quick, We Happy Few is available on Xbox One and PS4 for, I think right now, if you have Live and you have PlayStation Plus, you get it for about $50, I think.
I know PlayStation right now is doing a discount on digital. It's like 15% off.
So it's a $60 game normally, so I would take advantage of that discount. Miles and I were pretty surprised at the fact that the game was going to cost $60 because we originally bought it, and I did look it up, Miles, and we bought it for $35. So we got it for $35.
That's the price for early access.
That was the price for early access, and when we paid for early access, we also found, or because we paid for early access, we found out that we will have access to the full game before the game is actually officially launched.
Well, like a week ahead.
Relatively. But keep in mind, listeners, they're using us as beta testers. Anyone else who's got early access and who's been playing it, essentially tells them what's wrong with the game or what they've encountered. And whenever they add something new to the game, it reloads the game. And every now and then, your old save data doesn't always work with the new updates that they do. So that can be a downer.
That first day smasher.
But I thought that was pretty cool, the fact that we actually got the game for less than what they're offering for it now. And it does sound like they have really added a lot to the story. So,
well, and they're planning, from what I read, it's a three-part DLC, so there will be a season pass available for it. It'd be really interesting to see how the game comes along. I mean, it was interesting, but it wasn't one of those things like, oh my god, I can't wait to freaking play this. So, interesting to see how it develops.
I was really intrigued by the original trailers it showed off, but given the fact that we were in the preview didn't have a whole lot to it.
No, it was pretty small.
Beyond what we played. So, hopefully that story has expanded more, and it'll be cool to see how that actually unfolds. But yeah, well worth $35. Anyways, I think that's all we have for you, listeners. Thank you for listening to us this week. We really do appreciate it. Please go on Facebook, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Podbean.com if you don't like iTunes. If you do like iTunes, subscribe to us on iTunes. This is Vargo.
This is Josiah.
Anderson.
Miles.
Keep on geeking on. And we're out.